And there we go. It worked.
Sweet.
And 3, 2, 1. And here we go. Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself? How's traveling been?
Oh, dude, I'm doing outstanding. It's always good to see family and friends. Travel's been great. My plane made it safely, thank God. I was worried about that, of course, with all the, you know, crazy stuff going on with traveling and flying. I've been fringe keeping up with hoops. I don't know if you noticed, but I haven't been as active in the Discord. I pop in here and there. I haven't been able to watch many college games. I've been scoreboard watching. So I have been keeping up with like how people's performances have been, how that has gone. And to our YouTube audience that doesn't know, we are broadcasting from our playback room while I'm traveling instead of Streamlabs, which we normally use. It's a little bit easier for me to, you know, control everything. So you're not going to have the normal alerts for people that like the stream or subscribe or channel members. I mean, I could probably do channel members. I will be able to chat with you and do all of the stuff we normally do. Our just setup and presentation is a little bit different. I'm looking at it right now, and I actually like the way it looks. Just from a podcasting standpoint, I was speaking with the guys that work and the developers of Playback, and they're working on functionality to bring subscriber alerts and all the nice streamer tools that you get from other platforms like Streamlabs into Playback. And so the presentation will be like it is now, which I like. Plus, you'll be able to have those tools that we get from Streamlabs and all that stuff. So if they do that, I'm switching over to Playback. This is a nice little setup.
In addition to like being able to stream college games, which at some point.
We're working on that. Keep your fingers crossed. Yeah, I am speaking to the Playback crew. They are aware that there's an audience that wants college basketball games for Playback.
I have been asked by people that I know and that I work with elsewhere that about watching college games. So
there's definitely an appetite for it, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, they're aware of it. Obviously licensing is expensive and I'm sure it's a difficult and complicated process, especially because college games, you have the SEC network, you got the Pac-10, you got all these separate contracts for TV deals. So I'm sure all of that stuff is very difficult, but I know the people that tuned in, they're here to listen to us talk about contracts and the back scenes of how these deals get done. No, I'm just kidding. Matt, I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that happened in the NBA while I was away traveling? Anything significant?
No, it's been pretty quiet.
Pretty chill, huh?
Earth-shattering trades.
No,
like that. No, nothing to be.
No afraid. GMs, no been, GMs. Extremely like, upset.
Yeah, it's been crickets. It's like crickets. That's just it. No one's heard about the NBA, and so this is like the first time anyone's, you know, being introduced to such a thing.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, no.
This Luka Doncic guy. Never heard of him, but there were these, you know, whispers that he may have been traded in the dead of night and no other GM got a chance to bid on his services.
No.
That may or may not have happened.
No, not on anyone's watch. Not on anyone's watch.
Not on Adam Silver's watch?
No.
Mm-mm. No.
Listen, man, David Stern would have had this vetoed overnight.
Oh, my God, yeah. He vetoed that Chris Paul trade. Like with a snap of his finger, man, that Chris Paul trade was done.
Well, I mean, I think it, like in all fairness, they were like the league was like owning the Pelicans at the time. I would have owned the Mavericks after what just went down. No. What Nico Harrison? Yikes!
Yeah, yikes!
Did not shock.
Did you see the text? Or the screen grab that some of the Mavs players had sent out. It was like 15 Nico Harrison missed calls at like 3 a.m.
Really?
Like, apparently that's how they were going to find out about the trade, like Luka and, wow. and those guys. He didn't tell anybody he was trading him, and then he tried to call Luka at like 3 a.m. And there was like, he like sent a screenshot of all these missed calls from Nico Harrison.
Do you, what were you doing, like, before we get into like the draft implications of all this, what were you doing right. when you found out?
Oh man, I was at my brother's. We were just watching TV, talking about his job, and we were talking about some of my views on some of the things going on today. And we were watching a Netflix show or something, and I just was like, what are all these alerts going off on my Discord and on my phone? And I looked down, I'm like, oh my God, what just happened? Yeah, that's where I was. I was at my brother's house on his couch watching Netflix. What about yourself?
No, I was at my girlfriend's because we just got done watching the Heat game. And so we were eating dinner. And it, like, mind you, it's like 8:30 my time. It was a very late dinner. But like we were just eating dinner, just at the table, hanging out. And then I get a text from one of my best friends who's a Laker fan.
Okay.
Just like, there's no way this is real. And I was just like, what are you talking about? And so I look at the message, and then I get the stuff from like Discord and everything else, and a couple other like work group chats, like about the trade. And I'm just like looking at my phone in disbelief, and I was like, what? Like, at first I was like, no way, this is real. And so then hilarious. I go on the actual account, and I was like, okay, this wasn't like an NBA Centel
right.
or anything. And I'm just like staring at my phone, and I was just like, oh my God. And my girlfriend's like, no idea what happened. No idea what happened. And I'm just like, oh my God, like, what is happening? Like,
yeah,
I was in disbelief for like at least the next like half hour to hour. Like, I had like
earth shattering, right? Earth shattering trade, dude.
Yeah. And again, she's not like a basketball fan or anything. And so I had to try to do my best to explain it. Did not work. but no, it was nuts, man. It was.
It's crazy. I mean, in like all the players in the NBA now, if you see the quotes, they're all saying, anybody can be traded at this point. Like, somebody asked Joker about it, and he was like, they're like, do you feel safe now that all this stuff happened with Luka in terms of your standing? He goes, no, anybody can be traded. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards was like, yo, Tim, if you're gonna trade me, just like let me know. To Tim Conley, he's like, yo, if I'm gonna get moved, man, just let me know. Crazy weekend in the NBA.
Does he keep his job after this?
Huh?
Nico, does he get to keep his job after this?
He just signed a multi-year extension in July, I think, June or July. But it'll be like he'll probably be canned within a couple of years.
Yeah, I was going to say there's no way he gets past 2 years.
I think he'll make it to next offseason, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if he'll make it much further. And he did a very good job.
How's he ever going to sign another free agent? Nobody's going to trust him.
I have no idea. It's one of those things where it's like he did a very good job building a team around Luka.
Right.
And now you just throw that away for Anthony. Like, no, just this isn't like a shot at Anthony Davis. Like, it's just a reflection of like you're trading your 25-year-old franchise superstar who was expected
to be. And how it went down.
Right. The why, we could disagree about the why. How it went down is even more like malpractice.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you 100%, man. That's crazy. I just cannot believe that the way it happened. Like, Luka is one of the megastars of the league, and you don't even let him know it's happening. But, and we talked about this on the Five Reasons Sports Discord, that we contribute to Five Reasons Sports, that Ethan Skolnick said these deals happen by just a phone call sometimes. And literally what we're hearing is that's what happened. Like, he literally called him up and was like, hey, you want Luka? And he was like, wait, are you serious? Sure.
Like, this was over a month, though. This wasn't just like that. It was over a month. And so that's where it's just like, it's weird to me how it all went down, because you were having this discussion. You were having these discussions for a month.
Right.
And none of it got leaked. Like, to anyone.
Well, because it was probably just those two GMs talking.
Right. Right, because I want to say they had like a pretty close relationship. I want to say dating back to Kobe.
Right.
And so like they had that connection already. And like sometimes that's all you need for something like this. And then there were reports yesterday. We're recording this on Tuesday, February 4th. There were reports yesterday that like it was originally like two picks connect and more, like there was more involved in the trade. Right. And Pelinka, I don't think Pelinka is a good GM. But the fact that he was able to negotiate that down, being like, "Oh yeah, we'll take Luka Doncic, but like you know that his conditioning might actually be a problem."
Right.
So I don't think we're gonna give up on like he did a good job negotiating that down.
Well, I mean,
I don't know, man. Like it's.
Well, let me ask you this though. But like the only way, because if I called you and I was like, "Hey, you want Luka?" Your first thought's gonna be like, "What's wrong with him? Is he hurt? Like, what do you mean? Why would you want to trade Luka?" You're gonna inquire about, "Is he a problem in the locker room?" Like, you're not just trading Luka. So, I mean, some of the negotiating may have been self-inflicted because you're initiating that trade to begin with.
That's what makes me believe that he was asking for Anthony Davis,
right?
First, like that Nico made the call for Anthony Davis and. Pelinka's like, "We'll take Luka off your hands. His conditioning might stink, but we'll take him off your hands."
But this is what I'm saying. So he may have inquired about the – because he knows for a player the caliber of Anthony Davis, he would have had to have traded Luka. He would have had to made that call with that understanding. There was no other path to him acquiring Anthony
Davis. That's probably true, yeah.
But let's run down the trade for the audience. This trade went down on Sunday, officially February 2nd, 2025. The way it ends up shaking out is the Dallas Mavericks received guard Max Christie from the Lakers. The Dallas Mavericks received Anthony Davis from the Lakers. Dallas received draft compensation from the Lakers. Do you have what that compensation is yet?
For the Lakers, I want to say it was a second-round pick, but I don't remember what year. And then the Jazz were involved in this as well. They got a couple
seasons. I'm getting to that. So we'll look into the actual draft picks themselves after I go through the rest of the trade then.
Let me pull those up. See if I can find the full.
While he's pulling those up, the Los Angeles Lakers got Luka Doncic from the Mavericks. They received Maxi Kleber from the Mavericks. And then they also got Markieff Morris, which is just as a throw-in salary at this point. The Utah Jazz received draft consideration. Utah received guard Jalen Hood-Schifino. I actually like this move for Utah because I was higher on Jalen Hood-Schifino than most people. I know he had that back injury that really derailed his rookie season. If he can get past that, even though back injuries, I mean, they scare me with basketball players, especially a rookie. If he can get past that and they have a backcourt of Hood-Schifino and Keontae George of the future, I mean, that's a win for them to get in on this trade. You know what I mean?
Well, okay. I'm looking at it right now. The Lakers, it wasn't a second round. It was the Lakers 2029 first round pick. Dallas got
Anthony a 2029. Max Christie.
And then the Jazz two picks that they got was there were two picks in this upcoming draft. The Clippers 2025 second. And Dallas is 2025 second. I like this for Utah too. They literally gave up
that's really good
second round picks in this draft.
Heck yeah!
In addition to Hood-Schifino, like I'm kind of in a disagreement to an extent. Like I wasn't very high on Hood-Schifino. I think I was lower on him than the consensus. And I know he's dealt with that back injury and he's had a pretty rocky start to his career. Most of his time, I believe, has been spent in South Bay, with their G League team. If you can get Hood-Schifino for a team like Utah, who's like. Again, they're just trying to collect assets.
Like capture the flag.
You're collecting a young guard in his second year, in addition to 25 seconds in this draft. Like,
right?
Yeah, you would do that every day of the week, even though they might be middle of the late seconds. Like, you can still find value. You could still find some players. I mean, I know the hit rate on second round picks. Like, you're just practically throwing darts at that point. But if you're the Jazz and you're stacking the deck a little bit, like you can take some chances or flip those for someone else. Like you could flip that and move higher in the second round or something like that. I don't know.
No, I agree with you 100%. You're absolutely right about that. That's a big win for them for doing absolutely nothing special in that trade. They ended up waiving Mo Bamba. Somehow the Clippers ended up with Eubanks. That's a different trade. Sorry.
That was a different
trade. So they waived Mo Bamba. So that's actually really interesting. I'm going to attempt, after we go through all these trades, to dive into the draft ramifications and see how all the picks shake out. I don't know if SpotRack has them updated or not, but I have it pulled up, and we're going to try to take a look and see if it is already updated. But there was another small minor trade that went down that nobody really knew was coming. Well, we knew it was coming, actually. That Spurs reporter, Dusty, I don't know if you guys follow him. He's called the Spurs reporter on Twitter. Actually, I got a really funny story. He's been saying this for a while. There was smoke to De'Aaron Fox going from Sacramento to the San Antonio Spurs to pair with Victor Wembanyama. So while we were trying to parse this information and figure out what was going to go on with this trade, I was on the airplane. I was flying on the airplane, connected to Wi-Fi, still trying to stay plugged in and get all this information. And Dusty, while I'm doing this, Matt, can you do me a favor? Because I'm not logged into my Twitter account. Can you share our link? It'll be that little arrow on the top. You're not on YouTube, so you can't even see it. But if you could share your YouTube link on Twitter, it would be great.
Yeah, let me do that.
So while you're doing that, so Dusty was trying to give inside details about what he knew and what he heard on a Spaces, because somebody invited him on a San Antonio Spurs, Sacramento Kings collaborative space. And so all these fans were talking on the Spaces, and Dusty came on and start talking, and he's very long-winded, but he's really thorough. So it's, you know, I understand it. He was trying to be like, this is why I can't say certain things specifically, because I have allegiances to certain people, so I can't reveal exactly everything. But he was trying to get to what he was hearing. And it was funny. It took like 2 minutes for him to like set all this up. And the people that invited him to the Spaces kicked him off the stage. They're like, hey, you got to hurry this along. And there was like 600 people in the Spaces. And he's like, you realize you have 600 people in this space because I'm trying to give you inside information. And they're like, yeah, but we got obligations. We got to keep this thing moving. And he never got to reveal what was happening. And this came after he said Clutch Sports was like nuking another deal potentially. And so then he was like, hey, is Clutch like texting these guys, like get them off the stage or whatever? So then he started his own space and like took 95% of that audience with him. And we finally got to listen and hear what he had to say. And he was ultimately right that Fox was going to be on the move. And I knew this from the get-go. I heard all kind of crap, even in our Discord. Stephon Castle could be going in this trade for De'Aaron Fox. And I was like, there's not a chance they're going to let go of Stephon Castle. And it turns out, right after the trade, it came out later that there was not – that was a sticking point. Why the trade didn't get done sooner, they wouldn't let go of Castle. So let me break down this trade for you real quick of what happened. So this is complicated. So we got San Antonio, we have the Chicago Bulls, and we got Sacramento Kings all involved. And so the first thing is Chicago Bulls receive guard Kevin Huerter from Sacramento. The Bulls get Trey Jones. The Bulls get Zach Collins, who the Spurs have been trying to get rid of for a while now. He's been basically out of the rotation all year. And draft compensation goes back to Chicago. Sacramento gets Zach LaVine to replace De'Aaron Fox. The Kings also get draft compensation from Chicago. The Kings get guard City
Sissoko.
From Sissoko. I actually liked some of what I saw from him coming out in the draft. I scouted him, but he only goes one direction, and that's left. He only goes left, exclusive. Sacramento also got some draft compensation from the Spurs. The Spurs received guard Jordan McLaughlin and De'Aaron Fox in the deal. And Chicago Bulls waived Torrey Craig, Chris Duarte, who's like 700 years old coming out of college. And so it's just a huge win for San Antonio. They really gave up nothing of tangible value that they really wanted. They didn't even give up a ton of draft consideration. Did it end up being like two first-round picks?
Well, yeah, the way the picks were, it was four in total, but one of those first-round picks was the Chicago Bulls' own 2025 first-round pick, and so they just gave that back to him. The three other picks, it was a 2025 Charlotte Hornets lottery-protected first, but the thing with that is, one, that's not going to convey because the Hornets stink. There's no way they were going to make it out of the lottery. And so if that was the case, then it automatically turns into a 2026 and 2027 second. So they get two seconds out of it. And so it's just really two first-round picks and five second-round picks. The two first-round picks, the Spurs 2027 first, which that's going to be, back of the draft because the Spurs are going to probably be awesome by the time 2027 comes around with Wimby, with Castle, with Fox, and then – the one that I liked the most was the 2031 Timberwolves first. I think the Timberwolves are a dysfunctional organization. Obviously, a lot can happen between now and 2031. Right. I don't trust the Wolves to figure it out. But again, all of this stuff is fluid. They still have Anthony Edwards for God knows how long. We don't know how that situation is going to necessarily unfold. But again, I just think the Wizards are a dysfunctional organization. The Wolves are going to Wolves at the end. at least that's my prediction. And so I think that can actually be like a solid pick. We're talking about kids who are in like seventh and eighth grade. Like, I'd have no idea how good that draft's going to be. No one knows. And so that it could be a good draft. It could be a great draft. It can be a bad draft. No one knows. And then obviously they trade the three other second rounders to Sacramento. I think one of the second rounders that was traded in that deal as well was one that Chicago sent to Sacramento. But I love this for San Antonio. I don't for Sacramento, nor do I love this for Chicago. Right. Sacramento, I said before, when all of this went down and it was leaked that Fox's target destination was San Antonio, I knew Sacramento was going to lose some leverage with that, even though they were still trying to explore the market, see what they can get. I still would want a Castle, but the fact that they didn't get Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, Jeremy
Sohan,
they didn't get any of those guys. They didn't even get like Champagne. Like, sure, Levine's cool, but like, you really want to unite the Levine, DeMar DeRozan,
right back again Bulls
team from 2 years ago. Like I don't. Levine's having the best season or one of the best seasons of his career this year, and like, he's an awesome player. I think he's like, the injury history kind of stinks, but he's still like what, 29, 30 years old. Like, he's not. He's still like kind of in his physical prime.
Yeah. But he's oft injured.
Right. I still don't want him for De'Aaron Fox.
Definitely not. It's like, not even value at all.
He's probably the second best player in that deal, but again, that's not a high threshold. That's not a high bar that we're talking about here.
Right.
And so it's like, and then Sissoko's whatever. The first round picks are whatever. Yeah. At least they were able to get some draft capital out of it, like unlike Dallas.
Unlike Dallas, right?
But
I got a comment here for you from the chat, Matt. You want to hear a comment?
What?
It says, "You guys aren't saying anything original here. This has been the basic response for 2 days now. If you want to get out of 78 views per video, bullcrap, you're going to have to do better content than this."
Cool. I have an opinion.
Cool, man. Thanks, buddy.
No, it's just like it's just weird. Like, and then Chicago, they didn't get a first round pick for Levine. They didn't get a first round pick for DeRozan, who, by the way, was also in a three-team trade involving Sacramento and San Antonio.
Right.
They didn't get a first round pick for Alex Caruso from the Thunder, who are hoarding first round picks. If you open the front door, let's say the Thunder had a house.
Yeah.
If you open the front door of the first, like of that house, picks are going to be flooding out you like a cartoon hitting you in the face.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like and they may also fly out the back.
Yeah. Like it's crazy. And they weren't, they just got Josh Giddey, who was a depreciated asset at the time, despite being still a young player. Like it's crazy. It's crazy how absolutely. The Bulls just continue. Like Trey Jones is fine. He's on an expiring contract. I don't think Zach Collins is very good.
No, he's not.
Kevin Herter, that contract's looking worse and worse, even though I still like him as a player. It's still not much. Like they can still flip maybe Jones. I don't know if they'll be able to flip Herter and Collins. Sacramento had a hard enough time getting rid of Herter.
Let me do this. I want to go through the 2025 first round and second round picks. Tell me if this sounds correct. San Antonio has its own, right?
Correct.
Okay. But it says semicolon Atlanta. What does that mean? You know?
They have Atlanta's first round pick from the DeJounte trade.
Wow. So they still have two first round picks in the 2025 draft.
Yeah.
Plus their own second round pick.
They had four. Right. One of them was the Chicago, and then the other one was the Charlotte. So it was really like they were probably going to have a max of three
right
into this trade because, again, I don't think the Charlotte one was really ever considered to be something that would have, like, unless if Charlotte had a great year, LaMelo and everyone else stayed healthy, like, I really didn't think of Charlotte being a team that was going to be outside of the lottery. And so in my head, I was like, okay, a max of three first, and they were able to get one of those first. I'm surprised they kept the Atlanta pick. If I'm Sacramento, I'm like, I want that Atlanta pick now that Jalen Johnson's out for the year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. No doubt. That's a valuable
Atlanta
pick.
You mean, Atlanta has no incentive. They have no incentive to tank, but they're still not going to be good with Jalen Johnson out for the year. And so it's like, that's going to be probably going to be a lottery pick. Actually be a top 10 pick. Like,
Let me present this to you. I did a lottery simulation on Tankathon. San Antonio ended up with the 10th and the 11th pick because San Antonio, then Atlanta. So they get the 10th and 11th pick in the draft. So you have Steph Castle. You have De'Aaron Fox. Victor Wembanyama, Vassell. You got Harrison Barnes, Sohan right now, right? Like at the power forward spot.
Yeah.
Guess who may be available for them to take to pair alongside Wemby?
I'm looking at some of the names.
Oh, what are some names that caught your eye, sir?
What if they get Malawach?
Oh my one of those two picks goodness.
As a back, like I did, because they desperately need a backup big, whether it's Malawach, whether it's
Sorber. What if they Asa Newell?
Like, what if they try to complement Wemby with a guy like Queen?
Like what if like, they're like we want like
we want this we want
I like skill. It but I don't like it.
We want this, but I'm just saying like they have options there. They could go Asa.
They do.
Like I know he's gonna have to get bigger, but they can go Asa. Like there are
options. Because you have Wimby back there. Like you got Asa and Wimby.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
Blocking shots, that kind of length and athleticism.
Right.
And then, but you're not done. You're not done. You have the 11th pick in this scenario as well.
What if Knipple falls outside of the top
10? Dude, if he fell out of the top 10 and went to San Antonio and take Vassell's spot eventually, you would have, oh my Lord, that would be nasty.
I know we're not high on him as a player, but like as just like a complimentary fit to add spacing. What if Lee McNeely was like the 11th pick? I would like that as like a system. Like
that's another one. Yeah, he'd fit that situation perfectly.
Yeah,
any like, of those sharpshooter types.
Right. That's what I'm. Right. That's what I'm saying. Who were some names that you had in mind?
Well, let me go back to the big board here. Matter of fact, let me go to my own big board. How about that? Let me go to Fanspo real quick. Pull up my big board. And we'll see what we got. Log in.
Like, if you just get, you could add just like spacing, or better yet, what if they parlay 10th and 11 to move up into the top five or something?
Or, dude, I mean, like, you could.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that was the discussion last year with them for trading up to one if they wanted to. Like,
so Trey Johnson or Yakachonis? My God.
They get
that is. Oh my good, or VJ Edgecombe. Oh my goodness, dude, the possibilities are just mind-boggling with this group. Where is my big board? The sun is literally shining in my eye, and it's like making me blind.
I think I would love Knipple and Malawach. You just get to do connection.
So if you do 10 and 11, potentially Nolan Traore, but I don't think he would go that route, even no matter how talented he is. Because you have Fox and Castle. So Newell, Malawach is in that area for me. Boogie Fran, Sorber, Queen, McNeely. Those are really the names. I mean, I don't see anybody else really that would be there. I mean, you could really reach if you want three-point shooting and then go, what's his name from Duke? Not Duke, but a North Carolina. Evan.
Ian Jackson.
Yeah, Ian Jackson. So if you could go that, I mean, they would just be absolutely unbelievable if they were able to do something like that.
And guess what? They have two first round picks next year as well. Their own in Atlanta.
Oh, and they're gonna in the 2026. Oh my God.
At least I think next year is a swap with Atlanta. But
dude, they're probably gonna be
better than Atlanta, I would imagine.
They're gonna be a nightmare franchise to deal with for the next decade.
How do they not trade away Vassell in this deal?
I mean,
Sacramento,
but that's the thing. You have this flexibility now to wait on Harrison Barnes to trade him or trade Vassell, because you have also draft capital to put with these guys. Like, this is just a disgusting the rich get richer scenario for San Antonio, future. Now let's look at what happened with the other trade, the Luka Doncic trade. What were the picks that went to with Luka for?
It was the 2029 first that went to the Lakers, and then the Clippers, and I think I'm going to say it was the Mavericks 2025.
So the Lakers aren't even going to have a trade in the 2025 draft. It's going to go to the Atlanta Hawks.
Correct.
They're only going to have a second round pick then at this point. And then let's check Dallas. So Dallas will have their own 2025 first round pick out of all this.
Okay. Correct. They still get to keep that.
And then where did our mock draft simulator put them? Hold on.
Tankathon has them 18, I think.
Yeah, I just do the sim for fun, just to see where it ends up. Dallas.
I don't know if they will be a lottery team.
18th, yeah, they ended up 18th.
Yeah, I don't know if they will be a lottery team. I don't know if they're going to creep into that territory now that they don't have Luka. I mean, I know he was out for a while. I think, again, if I'm being completely honest, if I'm being objective, I do think Kyrie and Davis – like, I think that's
tough.
Like, that's a fun duo in addition to Lively, Gafford, right. PJ, Clay. Like, but that's not the point of why we're so freaking mad at the Mavericks for this trade.
Correct. Well, it may have something to do with a guy who sits in Miami and doesn't play. Who could that be? Any ideas? Jammy Butler? Big Face Butler? Yeah. No, I mean, it tanks his value around the league. And Miami, from what we've been – the guys have been saying on Five Reasons Sports is that they haven't been getting any real offers, tangible offers that they could, you know – because every time a team tries to get to that point, Jimmy's camp goes, nah, Jimmy only wants to play in Phoenix. I'll play anywhere, he says publicly, and then his camp behind the back.
I'll play anywhere but 27 other or 28 other franchises.
That's right. Only 28 other franchises. It's a mess, man. That's a mess of a situation that the Miami Heat find themselves in. And in a period of transition where they need a draft pick in the 2025 draft, it doesn't look like they're going to get one because they're not bad enough to miss the play-in. And they're not good enough, or Butler's not a good enough asset at this point because of his own actions to recoup draft compensation. So
yeah, and I was never expecting to get a first-round pick for Jimmy. Now I'm definitely not expecting to get a first-round pick for Jimmy. The Mavericks.
Well, I'll say this. I always say this. Deadlines create urgency.
Correct.
And the closer we get to the deadline, we got 2 days left. Well, technically, Tankathon has a counter. I don't know if you saw that. They haven't counted down to the seconds. Yeah, so on if you go to the homepage of Tankathon, deadline, 1 day, 22 hours, 37 minutes, and 39 seconds. So there's still time, but we are getting to the end of that candle. That candle is quickly burning out. And the only thing that's going to change any of this around is if Jimmy goes, I'm cool with going to Memphis. I'm cool with going other places. Because Bradley Beal right now, he's like, let me show you my no trade clause.
Bradley Beal's chilling on the couch being like,
literally.
What's going on? There's a deadline. For what?
Right. I've already told you guys. I got this no trade clause. I don't feel like moving.
Stop bugging me. I'm not going to accept no dang trade.
Right. Stop. I don't care if you bench me. I have a no trade clause. Basically, he says I've earned it. Like, that's his whole thing. I've earned this no trade clause. So, it's going to be a rough go.
With the no trade clause.
It's insane. It's insane that Washington gave him a no trade clause. Like, insane. What did they ever win with Bradley Beal? Did he earn a no-trade clause?
Nothing.
Not a darn thing. I still want this Toronto Raptors 2025 pick. I'm obsessed with it for the Miami Heat. I don't know how they can get it, but I'm obsessed with it. I kind of
want
it.
Toronto? I don't think Toronto would do that.
No, I don't think they would either. No, I don't think they would either. But I want it.
I was thinking about this earlier. So right before we hopped on, what do you think Dallas now does with their pick? Like, not saying trading it away, but like, what route do you think they go? Like, do you think it's like a guy that creeped into my head is like, what if they go like a Cam Jones route or something? Like,
but so that's the thing that like 18, it would have to be somebody like Cam Jones because all the other players are the explosive young guys are going to be gone.
Ian Jackson,
like. Yeah, Ian Jackson, Drake Powell, Will Riley, that's your guy.
Nope.
How much you love Will Riley.
Hey, listen, man, they said lean into defense, Nico Harrison. Let me introduce to you Drake Powell.
Well, maybe somebody like LeBaron Filon, if he's still there, or Jace Richardson.
Kyrie does have that player option. I don't know what he's going to do with it, but he does have it.
Right. Or maybe they draft their point guard of the future and a Boogie Fland who fell down the board to 18.
Would not hate it. Would not hate it.
What if they're like, let's just go completely huge. Lively, AD, and Danny Wolf.
Ugh. At that point, you may as well just start PJ Washington at the two. Like, what?
Right?
Go super duper big. Just play all their bigs at once.
All their bigs, man. They're on their big board. They have Nick Clifford all the way down to 38. They got JT Toppin at 43. Tyrese Proctor at 49. Like, he really fell down the board. I think Proctor is the type of guy that could really help a contending team because he could be just that guy that doesn't get in the way, shoot threes, decent defense, not great.
No, I think I'm with you. Like, what if, like, a team like, I don't know, I'm just trying to scour the second round to see who has a pick. Like, what if a team like Cleveland?
Right.
I mean, they have Ty Jerome. They have a couple other guys who can kind of do that already. But
this guy would be cheaper.
What about, like, Proctor. Or not Proctor, Phoenix.
Phoenix would be a great landing spot for Proctor, but Jalen Bridges is in that pipeline on a two-way already. And Jalen Bridges kind of already does the 3-and-D thing, and he's got a lot more length. He's 6'8", long wingspan, first to the floor type of guy, will defend, do all the dirty work, shoots 41% for his career in college. Pretty sure he's shooting 41% from three in the G League too. Let me double check though.
I mean, but you can just add him into that mix with Book.
Yeah, to compete. That's true. They can compete. I like it. What about a defensive guy like our boy Carter? Carter Knox or Adu Thoreau? Bull in a china shop. He'd fit great on a wing, right? Like kick aheads from Kyrie and AD running the floor, Lively running the floor, and he just crashes like he always does. Straight to the rack.
I really thought the 3-and-D guy coming out was going to be Prosper.
Yeah.
Much run. I was very high on Prosper pre-draft.
I was not. I was not. My write-up on it wasn't great. Yeah, it wasn't great. If I can find it, I'll read it to you one of these days. It was not great, man. But with that,
I was
yours for
Anthony Black. No, we don't need to rehash that.
You want to know? Because I was not kind to Anthony Black.
No, I don't.
Hey, did you see his stat line yesterday?
No.
He played like 18 minutes. He had 0 points on 0 attempts, no free throws. He had like 1 steal and 1 turnover and 1 foul. And then he sat the rest of the game. And 18 minutes of play.
You're not helping me out.
Dude, you're 6'8". How do you not at least get to the free throw line like 5 times a game? You're 6'8".
Ask that to Tyler Hero his first 5 years of his career.
Well, Tyler Hero is not
6'8". Even though he's like 6'5", not 6'8".
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not 6'8". They're two different styles of play. Anthony Black is not a jump shooter in any stretch of the imagination. 32% from three this season.
No,
which is an improvement for him. Ish Fulton does look better. I've told this story before on air. His current arc of how he's fixing his form literally was the arc I took in middle school. So, like, he changed his form in the beginning of the season. He was shooting here off to the side like this. This was him at the beginning of the season. And that's how my form was in, like, sixth grade. Coming into the next year, I worked with the guy that taught me how to play. I call him Dad, Steve Pagano. He was awesome. One of the best shooters I've ever seen. He had me keep my elbow in the same way, but we move it right above your forehead, you know? Anthony Black's doing the same thing, but he's doing it mid-season. So he's already changed it from over here. Now it's up here. So it's looking a little better. So there is hope for him. Unlike Ben Simmons, who has the same broken jump shot as he came into the league with. But that's really it, man. I don't got a lot left to talk about. Is there anything that you're looking forward to in the world of basketball tonight?
I have one Ace Bailey related question for you that I was.
Ooh, my guy, Ace Bailey, 6'5".
I know he didn't play well against Michigan. It was most recent game against Michigan. Did not play well. But just based on his arc over the last, you know, 2.5-3 weeks, that kind of time frame, he's been putting up numbers. I know Dylan Harper's been out, and so that's why I'm prefacing this question with, like, in my head.
Harper's been playing, though, even though he missed that one game. He's been playing terribly.
I thought he was out for, like, a decent amount of time.
Uh-oh. So
he hasn't played since January 25th. So I guess it hasn't been as much time as I thought in my head.
Yeah, because he was out and then he came back and then he was sick.
Yeah.
And then he's been out again.
So I'm going to preface this question by saying, in my head before, all of the stuff slewed, but in my head for a while, it was Coop 1, Harper 2.
Right.
With Ace Bailey's recent surge, would you consider, like, if you were a general manager in the front office, would you consider him for the number 2 pick today?
Absolutely. I've told you from day one, because I had him number 2 over Harper before anybody. Like, everybody was grilling me for that. And then Harper had that stretch where he was playing out of his mind. And I was like, well, maybe Harper could challenge Bailey for the second overall pick. And, like, I kind of, like, had him even, you know what I mean? But here's the reason why. Let me explain. So the moment I've seen Ace Bailey play against high-level competition in his ability to make shots, he's an elite shot maker like other elite shot makers we've seen in the league. I'm not saying he's going to be as good of an overall player as like a Carmelo Anthony, for example, but he's that type of shot maker.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant type of shot maker. He's an elite shot maker, and he's only going to get better. So, yeah, I would have no qualms as a general manager picking him second overall.
Would you do it? Would you pick him right now?
I mean, yeah, depending on what my team needs. It depends on what my team needs. And measurables.
Yeah.
Because if he comes out to be 6'4", like you said, changes things. So here's the thing, right? Like, for as much talent as those two guys have together, their team is really underperformed. Come once to basketball game in Europe and you'll see crazy fans with full of passion. Hey, I'm well aware of how passionate fans are around the world in Europe, man. It is crazy. So as far as Ace Bailey goes, the level of success is problematic for me. Now, also it speaks to the team building aspect. Their team building is terrible because they have no other talent on that team other than Ace and Dylan. They do everything for that team. And so, but I am concerned with the lack of success in college, how that's going to translate in the NBA. Because we're not going to get to see them in those high-pressure environments of the tournament. Because they're not good enough to get in.
High-pressure environments against Michigan.
Right, against Michigan. Well, I don't know, man. So that's my thing with Ace. I think he's an elite shot maker in the game. If he's legitimately 6'10 and he has a long wingspan, because he does rebound well, he handles the ball well relative to his size. He has more facilitation, to unlock. He's got more handling ability to unlock. I just think he's got such a high ceiling. Dylan Harper, I'm a little concerned about how he's going to translate offensively in the league. Much like Devin Carter, we talked about, and Devin Carter was a lot smaller, but we talked about how he played a really super physical brand of basketball. Same thing with Collier. We said the same thing. He plays a really physical brand of basketball to get his points inside. If Harper doesn't improve his form, I'm going to have questions. I think he's going to be an effective player no matter what. I think, you know what I mean? Like, I think he's got too much talent for him not to go top three at minimum.
Right.
But his jump shot is problematic for me.
She's shooting 49% from the floor, 33.7% from deep. That's down to 31.5% in conference play. 18.5 points per game, 5 rebounds, 4 assists.
You're talking about Harper.
Correct. Right. No, I'm with you. I just think he's too big. I think he's like good enough defensively. I think his playmaking is like a solid, like
his I'm concerned.
Yeah,
also
it's not perfect accuracy by any means, but like I think there's definitely like there's stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a good rebounder for his position. Same with Ace. Yes. I just wanted to pose that question to you because again, like, I know that it's been like a very recent surge for Ace. And I know like he's had, you know, sometimes when the lows for him, I think are low, but the highs for him are really, really high.
Especially from a
shot making perspective. Like I think he has more playmaking juice than the numbers do indicate, but that is something that you have to unlock at the next level. I wonder depending on the situation that he falls into, I wonder what they'll task him to do. From like, do we want you just to be a catch and shoot shooter your first year?
Right.
In addition to like some of the stuff that you can do defensively.
But he's a one-on-one guy, too. He's a matchup nightmare, dude.
Well, I'm saying, like, I wonder if a team is going to limit that from him and then, like, make him improve some of that stuff, like, over time when it comes to the burst and the handling.
Well, let me give you some numbers. Let me give you some numbers. Ace Bailey, 20 points per game, 7.8 rebounds per game, 1 assist per game, 47% from the field, 38.5% from 3. Pretty good. Pretty good.
They also list him as a guard, Basketball Reference does. That's kind of funny.
That is funny. He's seven. A wing. No matter what, he's a wing, right? Like he's
right, yeah.
He's definitely
that's a wing. What I mean.
He's definitely not a guard. Well, that's like Fanspo. Didn't Fanspo have somebody that was a guard, like a center?
They had like three different guys.
Yeah, yeah. They're insane, man. And he gets to the free throw line a lot. Let me go on Tankathon. Where's he at? I want to see what his free throw rate is. Because it's got to be really high.
26.3%.
It's not as high as I thought.
In conference play, it's 29%.
Better?
This definitely is basketball. Better. This is per Basketball Reference. College Basketball Reference.
Yeah, I love per Basketball Reference, though. Usage rate, 30%. That is awfully high, but that speaks to they don't have any other players like we talked about at Rutgers.
And Harper's. On and off.
But he's only missed two games. He's really only missed two games. If you look at the number of games Bailey's played versus Harper, they're like two games difference, right? 18 to 20?
They've played 22, though.
Oh, so they both missed some time. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not much time. But
no. A game here, a game there. But yeah, I mean, this is my thing. I wonder what Carmelo's. Let's do that. I am very interested in that. Google.
I mean, speaking to your point about, I want to add this in there. Speaking to your point about them not playing like high level games, at least right. We will. Hopefully, they make a run in the conference tournament. I think that's
that would be nice.
That'll be our best shot because I don't think, regardless, we'll see them obviously in the NCAA tournament unless they win their conference tournament.
Right.
Which would be pretty crazy. Or if I don't think – I would have to look at, like, the bracket matrix stuff. I don't think they're going to be, like, an NIT team.
Right.
They may be. They may be, but I don't know if they'll – they might have the resume just in conference play alone. I don't know what that necessarily that looks like, but – like the quad one, quad two wins. But I don't know if they'll be an NIT team. Hopefully, maybe. I mean, that's not high level competition, but it's not nothing.
Right. Here's Carmelo Anthony's stats for when he was at Syracuse. 6'8", 230. Bailey's a little taller, but a little smaller. National champion, Carmelo Anthony. 22.2 points per game to Bailey's 20. 10 rebounds per game to Bailey's like 8. I rounded up. 2.2 assists to Bailey's 1, 45.3% from the field to Bailey's what, 46? And then 3-point percentage, 33.7 for Carmelo to Bailey's 38.
Yeah, 38.5.
Bailey's an elite shot maker, man, an elite shot maker. This is what I'm – that's my whole point of all this, of why I would be willing to take him second overall, because he stacks up against the elite shot makers that the NBA's ever had. Coming from college. That's pretty high praise.
Right.
Like Carmelo Anthony's nothing to sneeze at.
Durant's numbers are so funny. You want to hear these?
Yeah, go for it.
25.8 points, 11.1 rebounds on 47% shooting, 40% from deep, 40.4, and 81.6% from the free throw line.
Unbelievable. That
makes out to a 58.7 true shooting percentage.
Jeez.
He won the AP. He won the Player of the Year award. He was the first team All-American. He led the nation in win share. Like, his freshman year at Texas was
sick. Texas, yeah. Oh, it was insane.
Have you heard the PJ Tucker story?
No. Tell me.
It was like, you could probably find this on like YouTube. or somewhere. I don't know if it was JJ's pod that he set this on or what, but I want to say it was either Durant's junior year in high school or senior year in high school, and he was like taking a tour at Texas.
Yeah.
And they had him practice with like the actual team and do like one-on-ones, and he was just busting everyone as like a senior in high school. Like, it was like as PJ was like, oh yeah, this dude's like this, he should not
the be real deal. Yeah.
He obviously tells it much better than I just did, but like,
right.
PJ was just like, no, not.
Dude, but you know what's crazy? Ace Bailey's numbers aren't that far off. They're not that far off.
You want me to read you Zach Edey's from Latin? No, I'm just kidding. We're not.
Oh, God. Come on, dude. No more. I don't have a dinosaur sound effect I can play on my laptop.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah, you don't have your sound.
But yeah, man, no, I've been really high on Ace from the beginning, just because you can tell by the way he moves and the balance he gets to on every shot. Whether he starts on balance or not, he always gets on balance by the time he shoots. Like, it doesn't matter what position he's in, as soon as he goes to shoot, he's on balance again. And that's an elite trait.
He's a microwave.
He is, dude. He is. Sometimes. And that's a valuable skill set in the NBA, especially with that size and length that can rebound. Super valuable. But that's really it for me today. Tell the people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work, Matt.
You can find me at MPH_824_ on Twitter. You can find me at HowAboutHoops.com, MountainWestConnection.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, as well as Playback.tv/5RSN. Right now we're on Playback.tv /HoopsProfile. yeah, man, I'm everywhere.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on. As always, I'm Digital Adele. You can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, any of the social media platforms under Digital Adele. I'm also a contributor to 5RSN. You can find us on Playback on playback.tv/5RSN, as well as playback.tv/hoopsprofile. We're going to try to build that out a little bit more, probably more next year, but also definitely during tournament time. We may be able to get into a special program to bring 20 of our special guests with us to break down these prospects in the tournament. But yeah, that's it for today. I'll see you next time. I don't know how to end this stream. I really don't. Can you end it, Matt? Just easily.
I can end it. The playback.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, because it'll end it on YouTube as well.